you would please turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Let's look at verse 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." Let's pause and let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for this time that we could spend together studying your word. I pray, God, that you would etch these things that we hear upon our hearts. Lord, I pray that there would be something very specific for each one of us. God, that you would inspire us, that you would challenge us by narrowing in on an area or areas that you want us to recognize that need more of your influence, more of us allowing you to do that work of transformation. Even David, he prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Lord, that's our prayer. We pray that you would lead us in the way everlasting. Do that work in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about the failing man. The failing man. And I want you to think, when you're asked this question, do you find yourself failing the purposes of God? You know, and you understand, at least to some degree, where you're at in your journey, you know, and you understand the purposes of God to some degree. All of us are in different places. And all of us understand, have an understanding within a certain light that we've received so far in our journey. And to some degree, you would say that, yes, I have had experiences of fulfilling the purposes of God, but more so, if you're honest, you would say that I'm more consistent at failing the purposes of God. Those seasons, they're short-lived. You may have a time where you're really excited about the things of God, you're really on fire, and then they dwindle. Or maybe some of you, it's been years. It's been years since you really sensed a move of God's Spirit within your heart. And at that time, you were excited. But since then, it's just been a very nominal, mediocre walk. And for some, maybe even if that. I want to share with you, if this describes you, the good news is that you are not alone. You are not alone. Thinking of the history of God's people, if you can go back, we're not going to get into the history by going through the scriptures, but if you can, in your mind, many of you, most of you are students of God's word, but in your mind, if you can go back and if you remember how the children of God, the children of Israel, they constantly failed the purposes of God. They were in bondage for many, many years. And it might be hard to understand. Perhaps it was way more harder for them. For us, we can look back in the scriptures and see it. But in the grand scheme of things, in the grand picture, they were right where God wanted them while they were in a foreign land, in Egypt. That's actually where they really grew and developed. But on a personal level, not really knowing their God, I'm pretty certain that on a personal level, they were failing the purposes of God. But you know, they did the right thing. And that was they cried out to God. And God was so merciful to them. And he delivered them. And he brought them out of that experience of bondage. But if you remember, in the deliverance process, they failed the purposes of God. Even in that short little time where God was taking them out, they had their struggles. They complained. You remember when Moses first approached Pharaoh and then how things got harder and then the people started complaining, doubting? And so often that's the case when God's doing a work and you start to move forward in obedience. So often it gets harder. It doesn't get easier. Well, they failed in the process or in the deliverance process. They also failed in the wilderness. You know, often they failed in the wilderness. It was an 11-day journey. You know, it took them 40 years. An 11-day journey that ended up taking them 40 years. Not only in the wilderness, in the whole journey, from the start to finish, they failed the purposes of God. Even in the conquering of the land, they failed the purposes of God. Remember Ai? And then even when they got into the land of promise, they had a history of failing the purposes of God. And yet, God never failed them. Never once. Isn't that encouraging? To know that we have a God that even when we, his children, fail him, he will never fail us. That is so comforting. God is always faithful to his children. God is faithful to his children, even in their failings. Now, to not be mistaken, I don't want you to think that I am promoting failing. Remember what Paul said, should we sin? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Of course not. On the contrary, my heart's desire and my prayer as I was preparing, as the Lord was leading me, is to encourage growth. I want to encourage our growth, not our failings. But if we're going to be men that finish well, we have to address that part of this journey. Because if we're honest, we fail. The thing is, do I want to be in a state of chronic failing? You know that feeling that you get when you just, you know that there's more, and yet you just aren't really wholeheartedly following the purposes of God? There's a hindrance. For a Christian, it's just not a good state to be in. And so I want to encourage growth. I want to encourage flipping the switch. And I wish it was that easy. You know, we all turn the light switch on and boom, it's like an instant change. But for some of us, it might be more like a dimmer than a switch. But the fact is that there is change. And what, as time progresses, looks like when you look back, that there would be growth. Our future is brighter. Our future is more filled with fulfilling the purposes of God and less failing the purposes of God. I would have to imagine that you are much like me with the same desire, and that is that you want to fulfill the purposes of God. And it starts in places that oftentimes we don't think of. It starts in our thought life. I want to fulfill God's purposes more in my thought life. That's a struggle for me. I want to fulfill God's purposes more in the things that I do. And even more so, I want to fulfill God's purposes more and more when no one's around, no one's watching. It's just me. I know that the Lord's watching, but sometimes the sinful nature, the sick, sinful nature deceives me into thinking that no one is watching. And I hate that. The times that I lose sight that God sees everything. I really want to grow in the way I treat others. I want to be more faithful to fulfill the purposes of God, especially for us men who are married, and how I treat my wife, how I treat my children, how I treat my grandchildren, how I treat those that I serve the Lord with. I want to, as time goes on, I want to be more faithful to the Lord in all my relationships. And this doesn't just come by chance. I mean, it comes with effort. I understand that God has placed me in a very specific endeavor, a work. And I want to be faithful to fulfill His purposes in the ministry that He's entrusted to me. And I know that most of you, if not all of you, feel the same way. I have to believe that. I know that we don't want to fail God's purposes. We want to fulfill them. The question is why don't we? Why don't you fulfill the purposes of God consistently? Maybe some of you have gotten into a way of thinking that, I'm never really going to change. I'm never going to overcome this. This is just the way it is. God loves me just the way I am. And God does love you. But anyone that truly encounters Christ, He changes us. We don't stay the same. We have a new heart and new desires. But if we're not careful, we can... And there's a reason why, and we're going to talk about the reason why. One main reason today, another reason tomorrow. But there's a reason why we become complacent, compromised, and can settle on a state of, I guess this is normal. I guess, you know, we fail. It's normal. We're going to answer two questions. One, why do we fail? And then another one, is there a purpose when we fail? Can God work it for our good? Not that we fail on purpose so that God would work it for good, but sometimes we do fail. And is there any good that can come out of it? Sometimes we don't even know that the enemy is trying to get us trapped in failure. And can God turn that around? Well, we read what Jesus said to Peter. If you remember, in verse 31 of Luke 22, He said, "Simon, Simon." Do you think that that's interesting? That He called Peter Simon, Simon? And if you remember, this was the name that Peter went by before he met the Lord. The Lord changed his name to Peter, meaning rock or pebble. And Peter turned out to be a rock in the church, if you would. But here, Jesus calls him Simon. And it's interesting because Simon's name in Hebrew, it means hear or listen. It means pay attention to. And I think what Jesus was saying to him was, Simon, I want you to hear what I'm about to tell you. Maybe some of you, God is saying, hey, I want you to hear what I'm about to tell you. Take this serious. And so the Lord, he tells him, listen, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, the Berean Standard Bible translates this a little differently. And I think that there is a high probability that this is a more accurate translation. But he says this in that translation, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you as wheat. In other words, when he was talking to Peter, it really was something that referred to all the disciples. And that is true. Satan wants to destroy all of us. And so one of the main reasons we fail is because so often we don't recognize the spiritual forces at work causing us to fail, trying to get us into a state of failure. There is a real devil. There are real forces that are very sly and just wanting to sift you as wheat, meaning to shake your faith in such a way to keep you in a constant state of failure. I know that there has been things that have happened in my life, and sadly, I mentioned it a little bit last night, it's come from my brethren, from those that I fellowship with. Not so much in our church, although it's happened in our church, not with any of you in the room. And some folks have left, and they wound you. And Satan can use that opportunity, those circumstances, to keep you in a state of failure. It's like, you know what? Discourage, forget it. You lose any kind of hope in the things of God. Satan is so good at that. Sometimes we don't recognize it. And it's important for us to recognize that this is true. Satan uses things like doubt, discouragement. He'll use secret sin. He loves to keep people in secret sin. He's just the tempter. Remember, he comes here, what? To kill, steal, destroy. And he's good at it. He's been doing it for millenniums. And he's so subtle. You remember the garden? So subtle. He uses compromise. He uses distraction. How many of us, you don't have to admit it out loud, but how many of us are distracted, so often distracted with social media? We spend hours, maybe not even bad things, but they keep us away from something better. You know, a little weird thing I discovered about myself. So for years, I don't know how many years now, I guess since I got a Bluetooth little earbud set, I started to listen to things at night. Starts with messages and things like that. Then as time progresses, I still listen to messages, but as time progresses, I'm starting to, when I can't sleep at night, because you get to a certain age where you have intermittent sleep. You know, you sleep for an hour, you wake up for an hour, you sleep for an hour, you go to the bathroom for a half hour, you sleep for an hour. You know, you just have these issues that it's like, what happened, Lord? What sin did I commit? I mean, well, anyway, during that time, then you start looking through shorts, little YouTube shorts and this and that. And I find myself preoccupied. So just recently, because my sleeping patterns have been bad, I said, I'm no longer going to bring my cell phone upstairs. I'm going to leave it downstairs. And I'm just going to try to sleep through the night. And that's been challenging too. But what I discovered is I pray way more. I say, wow, this was a distraction. All these years of being distracted with this little device keeping me up most of the night, watching stupid stuff, funny stuff. It's passing the time. And I start praying it. A lot of it's praying, God, why can't I sleep? Lord, help me sleep, Lord. But it has been sweet. Distractions. Some of us, we have been so distracted by the things of this world that we put spiritual things on the back burner. Things of church, you know, if I got time. This event going on downtown or here or there or wherever, I'm there. I'm there at that event. Nothing spiritual, no real spiritual benefit whatsoever. On the contrary. Now, I'm not saying all social things are bad, but, you know, Satan would love to get us distracted. There's so much work to do. You know, the enemy wants you out of commission. And one of the ways he does it is by trying to keep you in a constant state of failure. You know, Peter, he said, and Peter knows this very well, he said, be sober. That means to be self-controlled, disciplined. He said, be vigilant, be alert, be watchful, be cautious. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, the good news is knowing that we have a Savior who loves us and supports us. And even though we may fail him, he won't fail us. He understands that we're targets. And he doesn't give up on us when we fail. On the contrary, notice, he prayed for us. He prays for us. If you remember what he said to Peter, he said, I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Notice, Jesus didn't say that I'll pray for you. He's already been praying. And the Lord is praying for you. But notice what he says. He says, I have prayed not that you don't fail. Wouldn't it be great if he said, I prayed that you don't fail, so you're never going to fail again? That'd be great. Don't you wish sometimes after a failure, God, why don't you just take this away from me? I hate this. I hate this part of me. Why do I have these desires? The good news is one day the Lord is going to deal with that sinful nature. We will never sin again. We will never fail God. But in the meantime, we're not there yet. But notice what he says. He says, I pray that your faith doesn't fail. Not that you won't fail, because he knows we are going to fail. Now, there are willful things that we should diligently work on. But then there are times that sin is such a strong force. And it takes us over sometimes. We give in. I mean, Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7. So there's willful, and then there's sometimes in the moment. You might be driving and somebody gets you upset and you have a few words, and some words that come out of your mouth are bad and you feel guilty. It's like, why did I say that? Or maybe you got in the person's face, and then after you walk away, the Spirit's saying, man, that was an opportunity to witness, but you can't say nothing now. Don't introduce yourself. You better run. He said, Peter, I pray that your faith doesn't fail you. I'm praying that your failure won't lead you to stop trusting me. That's what Satan wants. You know, you could fail big and still trust the Lord through it. And that's what God wants. God wants your faith to continue to trust him. It's like Jesus says, I know you failed. I understand that. But trust me. Trust me. Don't throw in the towel. Don't throw in the towel. Trust me. And who do you trust the most? For me, I trust those the most that love me no matter what. Now, there's not too many people like that in our world, right? In your world, there's not too many people. For example, one of the few people that I could say have loved me no matter what is my mom. My mom. Because I had done a lot of things that hurt my mom. And no matter what I did, she always consistently loved me. And when I matured and I became a believer and matured and grew up, I recognized that. That was a special love. She loved me no matter what. And I could trust her. I could trust her with my heart. I felt safe talking to my mom because I knew that her interests, even though some of the things she may not like to hear, that her genuine interest in me was for my good. She wanted the best for me. To me, my mom, who pales in comparison to the Lord, was a small little window, a vignette, where I can see that kind of love that really comes from God. God is one who loves us no matter what. Don't you recognize that? I mean, how many times have you blown it? God still have been there. He hasn't abandoned you. And that's what one of the purposes that Jesus wants us to know is that no matter what, He won't leave us or forsake us. He can be trusted. And through that process, we grow. We should. When you understand love, that kind of love, it causes you to start to sense that sense of, I don't want to hurt. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to do this because he loves me. Even when I fail, he's loved me through that. And it makes me think twice, three times before I continue doing something that I know is not pleasing to him. Now, there's another reason. And that reason is because he wants to use us to strengthen the brethren. You know, he says, and when you have returned to me, talking to Peter, strengthen your brethren. Now, isn't that fascinating? He says, I prayed that your faith does not fail. And when you return to me, that's what people who really love Christ do. And that's what happens when you fail and you experience the love of Christ. You can't help but return to the Lord. Because he's so good. He's so merciful. When you know him, you can't help but say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And then you learn through that process that God wants to use you. He wants to use us. Look at one primary reason is to strengthen the brethren. And let me ask you, who needs strengthening? Well, at different times, we all need strengthening, but those that are weak need strengthening. And there are a lot of others that are in the body that need strengthening. They need you to be trusting the Lord. They need you to be overcoming failure, working on it. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about that in our next session this evening when we talk about the fighting man. There's so much work, and it's so important for us to grow in faithfulness, to grow in being better at fulfilling the purposes of God. And as I said earlier, that doesn't just happen. There has to be some focus. We're going to talk about what that focus is and what that looks like. And I've learned that so often the ones who have strengthened me the most and who have been the most helpful to me in my walk and in my journey of faith have been those who have been there too and are not prideful and pompous and they think they're better or that they have arrived, but they're humble because they too have experienced the love and the forgiveness and the mercy of Christ. And that experience has caused them to be able to be more in tune with the reality of who they are, but to grow and to come alongside and be a help, one who strengthens the brethren, an encourager of faith. Those people have been the most helpful for me. The people that I open up and have shared to, and they are, you know, they get judgmental, they get critical, they don't come alongside to help. And they might be in positions of leadership, and they're harsh, or they're very, you know, black and white and no grace. And that has been brutal. And I haven't experienced the Lord that way. And let me tell you, the Lord has no problem chastening. The Lord has no problem directing, but He does it in such a way that you want to change. Some brothers have done it in a way that you want to change them. you want to run from them. But the Lord has just such a way about Him. But those that have experienced God's mercy and they've been there too, they understand, they relate, they could come alongside, those have been the greatest help to me. I want to be that to you. I want to be that to others. I may not always be that way, but that's the desire that I have. And that's the desire that we should have as brothers and as men in the church. That's why it's so important. Don't let your failures rule you. Trust Christ. Let Him rule you. Bring your failures to Him. He'll change you. Don't give up hope. Don't throw in the towel. Now, we're going to wrap this up, but can you think of you don't have to answer out loud, of course, an area, maybe something very specific or maybe a few things in your life where you're failing the purposes of God in that area? And you ask yourself, why? Why is that? What is it that causes you to continue in that pattern? Well, one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to condemn yourself. Condemnation, we understand that comes from Satan. Could you imagine that moment after Peter had denied the Lord? Three times, cursing and swearing. And the Lord, already beaten, He comes out and Peter's there and their eyes lock. Do you think those were eyes of condemnation? No. Do you think there were eyes of, I told you? I doubt it. You should have known better. I already warned you, idiot. You think that's how? I doubt it. That was a look of mercy. And that mercy, that love that came through those eyes of our Lord penetrated Peter's heart in such a way that he wept bitterly for what he did. And then the Lord reached out to him after his resurrection. He said, go to my brethren and Peter. He singled him out and Peter. You know, they said, let him know that he had risen. That's the mercy. That's the love of God. Condemnation doesn't come from the Lord. That comes from the devil. The Lord has a way of drawing us, convicting us, and that conviction should draw us to Him. Remember, you're not alone. Remember that you are prayed for. The Lord is praying for you. Know that you are loved. Don't quit. Don't let the enemy win. Hang in there. Fight the good fight of faith.